Okay, I'm back on the line with Dennis Culhane, and sorry for the interruption. I'm not sure what happened, but anyway, Dennis, I was, you know, it's again another sensitive topic, and people might get irritated with me, but you know, back when I was in high school, from '72 to '76 in Santa Clara County and California, you know, in general, there really wasn't a big immigrant population. You know, I think it was like maybe 80% people of European heritage, and maybe 20%. There was a small black population. It was really predominantly white. And now in California, you have, you know, maybe up to 45% of the population is from south of the border. And of course, you know, Latino or mestizo or whatever you want to call them. And, you know, that's a huge pool of labor. And of course, they're taking jobs from everybody else, you know. In other words, it's a very competitive situation. And I wonder if that's one of the main causes. For example, I have a son a younger son, he's a helicopter, he's turning 20, and he's a helicopter pilot, professional, he's quite amazing. And he's working in Hayward, you know, on the east side of the bay. He tells, we found an apartment for him and everything, helped him out. But, you know, my goodness, it's extremely expensive, you know, and he's very fortunate to have found something. But I don't know anybody, you know, he doesn't make much money. Helicopter business is, you know, it's not very lucrative. So, you know, it's impossible for him to really survive there. So that's a huge issue. I mean, it's so expensive, Dennis, you wouldn't believe. I mean, insane. So what about
the housing affordability problem is wreaking havoc throughout society, and many people, majority of Americans, are impacted by it. And you know, we have just not grown housing supply that is at the right price point. It's just all luxury housing. All the development has been higher end.
Yeah.
We're lucky if any of it trickles down. We're giving these massive tax breaks to you know, people who own second and third homes that are in the millions, you know, that, you know, money that could be providing subsidies to low income renters.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a huge inequality problem, and it overwhelms our politics, and our policymakers don't make good decisions as a result.
Yeah. Now, you know, I'm kind of teasing you, but do you realize how expensive it is in California and the Bay Area?
Yeah,
you do. You know. Okay. Because
I've been there.
My son is at the he's great pilot, you know, great guy, 20 years old, right? And he's earning about $45 an hour. Now, the helicopter pilots don't make much money, but, you know, it's not possible for him to really kind of survive there without help. It's impossible.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
So I'm suspecting that, you know, ultimately our problem is economic, you know.
Yes, for sure. There's huge distortions.
Yeah.
The housing market is very distorted.
Yeah.
You know, the labor market historically, of course, has always operated on, you know, low wages for lots of people to subsidize everybody else's existence. These are things that are longstanding.
Yeah.
You know, and government inaction, you know, failure to protect against the risks of what's going on in the private market. We've just turned over the keys to the real estate and banking industry when it comes to housing.
Okay.
And we have we've not really looked at this from a public perspective. You know, we can build quality housing. We know how to do that. There's no secret to building quality housing.
Yeah.
But doing it at an affordable price with land prices the way they are, with materials and labor costs and all that, it requires a subsidy to make it affordable, even to middle-income people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have tax policy that can help with this. We have lending policies that can help with this. There are a lot of tools that government could use, but they really, you know, if we're going to be successful, they have to use all of them all at once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a piecemeal approach is clearly not working.
I just want to mention this fact. It's quite amazing. I interviewed a architect here, local guy, Sonoma County guy, great guy, and he said that the typical cost for a building a one-bedroom apartment in Sonoma County is $700,000. That's the cost.
Incredible.
Yeah. I think people around the world will hear that number and say, what? Wait a minute.
Right.
Yeah. So that's that, and then the so-called mental illness problem appear to me to be the big, and the third would be, you have a downturn, you have a crisis, people are going to be thrown out for a while, but like you said, they seem to be able to bounce back. Is that a good analysis? Those are the three issues.
Well, I would say that. Yeah, income inequality, which has imprinted itself on the housing market, and distorted the housing market. Those are collectively the things. But what you're saying ultimately is that, for the people who experience homelessness ultimately, these are folks who need basic income assistance, which we don't provide.
Right, okay,
and,
okay.
You can't survive in this world without some basic income. I mean, it's very interesting that there's a big movement right now to create guaranteed income programs.
Mm-hmm.
All around California and elsewhere.
Right.
And which is great. I think it has a lot of potential. I'd like to see more of the research and results.
Mm-hmm.
But what about a basic minimum income policy?
Yeah.
Where we don't let people fall below, $1,200 a month.
Yeah.
And it's a basic, it's an insurance problem.
Yeah.
And we can design an insurance program, just like Social Security, that can protect people from devastating income losses, from sudden unemployment, disability, illness, mm-hmm. accident, injury, whatever it can be. And we can design a basic housing assistance program that allows people to get into the local housing market.
Mm-hmm.
But there is the bigger underlying issue of, the two big underlying issues in my mind is housing supply and income inequality, which homeless programs have nothing to do with those things, really.
Yeah.
So we need to take those on as a society.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm thinking again, I'm going to point out my son's situation, the pilot. He's a brilliant guy, right? And now he chose helicopters, tough, right? Not much income. But had we not been able to help him, there's no way he would be able to survive.
Right.
For example, he lived at our house here for a couple of years. When he was working at the airport near us in Santa Rosa, he worked there for about a year, and we paid all the bills, and he saved up about $20,000. Right. So again, without this assistance, and you're saying that the government should chip in, I agree. I think, everybody should have a fairly, a good shot at starting life, have the right tools available to them.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I think in my opinion, that's the issue, Dennis. You're the super expert on this, but it seems to me that if we don't address this problem early on, before they're kind of launched into the life routine, a good proportion of them are going to be thrown to the wolves.
Exactly, and that's what's happening every day.
Yeah. When that happens, you're losing talent, you're losing productivity, you're losing people who probably do want to work.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A lot to be done. There's a big social agenda here.
Okay.
And the question is whether the American public and our political system together can actually get to a place where we realize mm-hmm. that these kinds of strategic investments are infrastructure.
Right.
They're the things that will make our society work.
Okay, and now I'm going to...
see things like mass homelessness, something is not working.
Right. No, of course. And I don't want to keep you much longer. And if you got to go, but I just thought of something. You were saying at the very outset that the system that we built in the 30s, is no longer really functional, right? Okay, you said that. Right. Now, we have a much more complex competitive world today. So I'm thinking that it's about time that we looked at this problem and make, you know, and here's my question. Is the public sort of generally speaking thinking that these people are either crazy or lazy?
Yeah, I think that there's a fair number of people who have that stereotype. But also, I don't want to broad brush that because there are also, you know, many people who are well aware of the, you know, of their own fragile situation.
Right, right, of course, yes.
So yes. People sympathize,
Right. So, all right, well, look, it's obviously a growing problem, right? I mean, I was going to ask you, what are the facts right now? How many homeless are wandering around the U.S. right now, for example?
Well, our best estimate is probably somewhere 650,000, 700,000 people.
My goodness.
Are homeless on a given day, at least a couple million people a year, probably as many as 7-8 million people over a five-year period. So it on a given day, it's very visible and looks terrible, especially in California and places like that. But numerically, it's not a massive problem.
No.
You know, in the sense that, you know, there's millions and millions of people in Los Angeles, but accumulated over time. Mm-hmm. The fact is many, many Americans are experiencing homelessness. Mm-hmm. 4 to 6 percent of poor people every year. Mm-hmm. We have found some groups, black men with a high school education, some studies who are in a certain age group, 25% of them homeless in the past year.
Yeah.
So we have some groups who are really disproportionately being affected.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And do you think that we could solve this problem by just throwing money at it, or you think that we have to go beyond that? We have to address the issues of brain development, you know, what I mentioned before.
Well, or I think we need to have a social infrastructure that protects people from destitution.
Yeah.
No one should be forced. We should have an adequate social insurance system that, you know, like people with private insurance can afford, the public needs to be provided with some basic safety net that if they lose their job, they become disabled, they are becoming elderly, they have health conditions, that there is a fallback for them.
Okay.
They're not going to end up digging out of a dumpster. We need to be able to provide.
You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was just thinking that maybe we should ask the Russians about their experience. Because after the Cold War, you know, I mean, well, when the Russian system collapsed or the Soviet Union fell apart, you know, most everybody was facing destitution.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Should we consult them? I'm serious.
Well, I mean, that's a different system where, you know, the advantage of the American system is that we are growth oriented.
Yeah.
And so we generate economic opportunity through growth and through different industries and technology and education and all those things. And, you know, the post-Soviet system is very different than that.
Right. Right.
You know, they have many other challenges that are a result of their system, but we shouldn't take off, you know, our eye off the ball of things we can do here.
Sure.
In our system.
Here's my last thought and question for you, Dennis. By the way, feel free to say whatever you want. If you want to talk more, we can. But we have this, I was just talking to my friend Andrew Krepinevich, worked at the Pentagon for a long time. He's a big deal in long-range planning for the Pentagon. He's a great guy, and you can listen to his interview. But, you know, I said at the beginning of the interview, Andrew, we have this new world. We have the internet. We have, you know, global competition is fierce. Yeah, incredibly complex economic relations from around the world. I mean, it's getting more complex and competitive by the day. So we have to acknowledge that this is a new world. And young people are not even probably even beginning to realize what they need to do to be able to survive and to prosper. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's why we need a good education system.
Yeah.
Is giving people basic insights about the world and that's how it works. And, you know, we wouldn't have had January 6th if we had a specific education system that people understand. So, you know, we have a lot of work to do. And but I appreciate this chance to talk about it. So really, thank you for having me on your show.
Of course, of course. And look, email me if you want to do a stage two or whatever, you know. But I really appreciate it. You did a great job, and talk to you later. All the best to you.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.